Your recordings have started. Speakers, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 15th of April, 2015. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Chuck Gomes, Aubrey Doria, J. Scott Evans, and Amr Elder. Joining us a little later in the call will be Alan Granberg. I show apologies from Marika Koning. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Barry Cobb, Amy Bivens, Karen Lund, Steve Chan, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Chuck.
Thank you. Much appreciated, and welcome everyone to the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on Wednesday, the 15th of April, 2015. And we have a fairly simple agenda today, so let's go ahead and jump right in. We are going to start off with something following from our meeting last week, and I think it was related to a comment by Amr. Mary, can you help us get back on track on that issue?
Sure. Thanks, Chuck. Hi, everybody. It's Mary from staff. And as noted, this was an issue that I think was in the NCSG comment that Amr had carried forward in our conversations. And the specific point is how to avoid the parallel efforts or competing motions. For example, if there is a group of the GNSO or the council that feels that a particular topic should be one for a regular PDP, but others feel that perhaps the GGP or the expedited process may be more suitable. So as you'll recall, this was the last topic discussed last week, and where we left off on that, you'll see on the screen across from 5.4 that there was an item that Marika had summarized as to how this working group might want to proceed on that, and that is that we might want in our final report to put in some recommendation or general language making that clarification. One of the suggestions and that we had, Chuck and everyone else, because I think you had asked us to check with our legal colleagues, was that this may be something that the working group can put in as a general recommendation to A, spotting the issue, B, saying that we need to have a rule or something to clarify what we do, and then what we can have eventually is something in the operating procedures. Because if all these three new processes are adopted, they will go into the operating procedures, so it may be helpful to have some language in there, but we may not need to draft that at this precise point in time.
Thank you very much, Mary. This is Chuck. Any comments in response to Mary's comments, and Amr, certainly feel free to jump in if you have anything else on that. In a moment, I'm going to ask each of you to see if you are supportive of this or not supportive of it, of the approach recommended by Marika and Mary, and then in a little bit, Amr, too, I'm going to call on you to pick up on 5.4 if there's anything else we need to talk about the NCSG comments there, or any of your colleagues from the NCSG as well. That's just a little bit of advance notice on that. So let's go to Amr.
Well, thanks, Chuck, and thanks, Mary. This is Amr. Just to be clear, is the suggestion now to defer answering this question or addressing this with any sort of finality until after? Assuming that the recommendations of the working group will be adopted, so the suggestion now is to defer this until after the language in the GNSO operating procedures is changed to reflect this, and sort of address this at a later stage. Is that what's being suggested? Thanks.
Mary, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck, and thanks, Amr, for the question. I guess to make it clearer, It seems to us that after last week, the group was fairly comfortable that the role would fall to the council as manager of the entire, you know, PDP and associated processes. So our suggestion was that was twofold. One is that for this working group's final report, that we must have language in there that shows we have addressed the issue. And Chuck, I think you pointed this out last week as well. That secondly, we might want to propose that there be specific language in the GNSO operating procedures as to how to deal with this issue. This second suggestion may be something that we not discuss on the call today because it might turn into drafting by committee, but what Marika and I can do is offer some language to the list, for example, after the call, to see how the hierarchy of processes or whatever the appropriate term should be can be worked out to the satisfaction of the group. Does that help, Amma?
Thanks, Mary. This is Amir. Yeah, that is very helpful. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And Jay Scott, did you want to say something? Or I see the check mark now, so if you want to jump in, feel free.
Well, I just agree that that seems to be a reasonable process for this, so it doesn't get too kludgy and too out of hand. I think that that seems reasonable, and we'll look at the language that Mary and Marika propose. But that sounds to me to be like a good way forward.
Thank you very much, Jay Scott, and Chuck again. And Mary, I assume in that language that you and Marika draft that you will include the suggestion on modifying the GNSO procedures to address that. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct. And I'm just noting Avery's comment in chat. I'm just using the word hierarchy because I think that was the description that Marika and others had about one suggestion to deal with it. So there may need to be some further email discussion as to how that works. But I didn't really mean anything else by it. But, yes, that's what we will do, Chuck.
Okay. And Avery, this is Chuck. I assume that the issue with hierarchy will be covered adequately once we get into the actual language. Can we deal with it then? Jay Scott, go ahead.
I don't think my hand is up. If it is, it's my mistake.
Okay, thanks. Okay, it is.
I am working with an injured hand, so I apologize.
Okay, it's down now. So, thanks. This is Chuck again. So, Amr, are you okay with this approach? I mean, this is an issue raised by the NCSG, and I guess, Avery, you're also from the NCSG. Who else do we have on? I should look through this real quick and give any of you on the NCSG that have a special stake in this, please speak up on this regard. Avery, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that I'm being a bad NCSG member. I acquiesced to this particular issue because I didn't understand it. I'm admitting that I still don't understand it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Avery. That's okay. Lots of things I don't understand, so appreciate that. This is Chuck speaking again. So, Amr, because you raised the issue, are you okay with this direction?
This is Amr. Yes, I think I am okay with it. I don't see why we need to drag it on further on the call. I think we've spent quite a significant amount of time on last week's call discussing this. I would look forward to what Mary and Marika come up with in terms of language, and I'm confident that it will reflect or address the concerns that were raised by the NCSG. I would like to just on closing this topic and then the comments submitted by NCSG, I really hope that none of this as a concern being raised reflects or misrepresents the NCSG's position on these processes, as they are. We do believe that they are very good processes and very well thought out, and we do feel that they will provide the GNSO with great additional new tools to address issues It's just a matter of sort of safeguards to make sure that that appropriate processes are used for appropriate to address appropriate questions. So I don't think we need to discuss them any further on this call. Thanks.
Thanks, Omer. Chuck again, and thanks for saying that. I suspect that none of us really looked at it that way, because you're very clear at the beginning of your comments that you support the GGP in this particular case in 5-4. So thanks for that. If anyone disagrees with this approach, please speak up now or put a red X in the Adobe. Otherwise, we will assume that. Even got a green check mark. Thanks, Cheryl. Okay, let's move on then. No, let me ask now. Omer, is there anything else in 5-4 that you want to discuss with the working group?
Yes, Chuck. This is Omer again. Just to remind folks, the 5.4 question was whether the respondent to the survey supported the adoption of these processes, and in the multiple choices provided, it was yes, support, or no, do not support, and there was one option, which was yes, we do support taking the following comments into consideration. So the NCSG supported the GIP, the GNSO input process, and also supported the two other processes, but taking certain comments into consideration. So we addressed the comment for the that was a shared concern with the GGP and the EPDP, which we talked about last week. Another one that is also in the answer to 5.4 and specific to the GGP, when we came up with the GGP, we made sure that the GNSO guidance process is not a process that is intended to provide any new contractual obligations to contracted parties, to registries and registrars. When discussing this issue with the NCSG, some other members also raised the issue that it may also, the GGP may also not be a suitable process to come up with new obligations on registrants. And we were hoping that this would be added to the sort of the prerequisites of using this process. And examples provided were, for example, like changes in the UDRP or the URS that may provide obligations on registrants. And we thought that this might be something that should be added as well.
Thank you, Omer. Any questions or comments? This is Chuck. Okay. Then I think we can go to comment 5.5, if next. And that is a comment.
Chuck, I'm sorry, this is Omer.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, the NCSG had one more comment on 5.4, but I just
That's
thought
fine.
Not to get into that until...
Go ahead.
Yeah, the last thing in 5.4 was concerning specifically the EPDP, and one of the concerns raised, and I think I mentioned before that we held a webinar on this working group's initial report, and this is when all this came up. So on going through these processes, one of the concerns raised regarding an EPDP was if there was a policy that had already had gone through a PDP and been rejected by a PDP working group, the recommendations to reject a certain policy adopted by the GNSO Council, it may not be appropriate to reopen a policy like that with an EPDP, because there would be no issue scoping phase where new issues that may need to be considered in an issues report would come up. So I'm holding an EPDP on a previously discussed policy that went through an exhaustive process without having a new issue scoping phase might be problematic. Does that make sense to anyone?
This is Chuck. I think it does, Amr, and it's a very good issue to raise. So my first question, and it's really to all of us, I think, do the restrictions that we put on an EPDP adequately cover the concern that the NCSG is raising? And if not, do we need to make that clearer? And while you're thinking about that, and Mary, if you can kind of look at the restrictions for the EPDP while I'm talking here, that would be helpful. It seems to me, and I'm thinking live, so I probably haven't thought it through very carefully, is it possible that in a previous PDP effort on a particular recommendation that was rejected as possible policy or even best practices or whatever it may be, is it possible that there's an element of that maybe wasn't adequately considered that could maybe be handled with an EPDP, or should we always, if it's been part of a previous PDP, have a blanket rule to not use an EPDP for something like that? I hate to be too rigid on these things because the world we live in, it just has so many variables that I don't know. So what do people think? Do you think that we need to add a specific restriction on the use of EPDPs and not allow it to be used on a recommendation that was previously rejected in a PDP?
Chuck, this is Jay Scott. Again, I guess it's just being too rigid about anything always seems to lead us down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, that's thanks, Jay Scott. This is Chuck. That's kind of, as you could probably tell, that's kind of what I'm concerned about as well. At the same time, we don't want to allow an EPDP to be a gaming mechanism.
Absolutely.
Like that, and I think we all appreciate that, too. Let me go to Mary, and then if others have thoughts or suggestions about how to deal with this, please raise your hand. Go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Chuck. And, I was just looking at the actual language that we have in the report, which I think is Annex E, and here we say that the EPDP can be initiated only in one of two specific circumstances. I don't know if you want me to read it. So the first circumstance is, and here I quote, to address a narrowly defined policy issue that was identified and scoped after either the adoption of a GNSO policy recommendation by the board or the implementation of such a recommendation. So in this first possibility, the EPDP has to be used to address a specific issue. It's been identified, it's been scoped, and it's narrowly defined. Alternatively, the second possible circumstance is, here I quote again, to provide new or additional policy recommendations on a specific policy issue that had been substantially scoped previously, such that extensive pertinent background information already exists. For example, an issue report for a PDP that was not initiated, or as part of a previous PDP that was not completed, or through other projects such as a GGP. So while we don't have the sort of blanket statement that you were talking about, and I remember drafting this with Marika, I think our assumption is that it probably ought not and would not be used for the sort of situations or the edge cases that the NCSG has raised. I don't know if it needs to be clearer than that, but that's my thinking.
So, this is Chuck. Thanks, Mary, very much. Amr, do you think that this protects against that sufficiently at this point in time, understanding that probably all our recommendations won't be perfect? You know, we might miss on one or two, and we'll have to be fixed later, but is that, we need to acknowledge the point made by the NCSG in our response. But so, Amr, do you think that the restrictions on the EPDP are sufficient for now? And of course, experience, we'll learn a lot from experience.
Hi, Chuck, this is Amr. I personally think the restrictions that we have now are sufficient. But like you, I do appreciate the point that was raised. I would assume that the GNSO Council in general I doubt anyone within the GNSO would want to go through a second process to address an issue that there had already been a lot of work done on, unless there was something new to add or new circumstances that need to be discussed. And this would probably require an issue scoping phase, because then the issue wouldn't have been scoped the first time around. But it was a concern that was raised, and so we added it in our comments. But I'm not entirely sure that we do need to change the prerequisites on the EPDP at this time.
Thank you very much, Amr. So again, we definitely are referencing, as you can already see in the notes, I think, the point raised by the NCSG. So it's clear that they will know that we considered it, and that we think that the existing restrictions should be adequate to protect against that. Okay. Any other comments or questions on this? All right. Chuck still speaking. Before I jump ahead to the next comment, anything else, Amr, or anyone else from the NCSG on 5.4? Yes, Amr, go ahead.
Thanks, Rick. This is Amr again. Just to be clear, when I made my last comment, I don't believe the prerequisites that now exist necessarily protect against this concern. However, I do. I don't suspect it would be necessarily common practice to use an EPDP for a purpose that would cause this concern in the first place, if that makes any sense at all.
It does.
The prerequisites currently as they are may actually allow for an EPDP to revisit a rejected policy without changes in the scope of the policy. But I don't think it is likely that the GNSO would actually do this unless there was a pretty good reason. And if there is a good reason, then sure, by all means, the EPDP should probably go forward. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. Well said. Chuck again. Aubrey, your turn.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with what Amr has said, except for one thing. I am positive somebody will attempt to do it, but I'm pretty trusting that the council won't let it happen. But at certain points, we have to acknowledge that almost any tool will be misused to achieve some purpose. But you know, we have to count on the council to be able to say, no, that's ridiculous, and not approve it. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. Chuck again. Let's go ahead and go to 5.5, which is a comment from the ALAC, and it probably overlaps somewhat with comment 5.6 from Alan Greenberg, because as you know, Alan submitted some comments before the ALAC had approved it. I think I can't I better be careful not to try and cite the exact circumstances, but I suspect there's some overlap there. Now, Alan is not able to join us yet. I don't know if that means Design Team F is still going on that he's leading, but regardless, he's not here to speak to this. Cheryl, are you able to speak to the ALAC comments here, or would it be better if we come back to those?
Took me a moment to unmute, sorry, Chuck. Because as far as I can tell, Alan should be joining us momentarily. I would suggest we come back to those. And yes, you're right, just to make sure it's clear. The ALAC comments should overlap very, very much with Alan's personal ones. Alan put his in and... in advance of the ALAC comments, but the ALAC ones, of course, are the group ratified ones, but there's a huge amount of overlap.
Thank you, Cheryl. That's helpful. This is Chuck. And so let's skip ahead then to 5.7, which is a comment, and we'll come back when Alan can join us to 5.5 and 5.6. 5.7 is a comment from John Poole, and he submitted a lot of comments. I guess I won't editorialize on his comments. I'll just not say anything on that except let's look at the comment. Do not support adoption of the principles. Keep in mind question 5 is supporting the principles, the approval of the principles by the board and the GNSO Council. Are you referring to Section 5 beginning on page 18? There's no Section 4. This, I think, we've previously addressed that a correction was made. I think all we need to say is that a correction was made with the problem that John is citing. Is that correct?
I would think so.
Yeah, we talked about that before. Unless somebody thinks we need to spend any more time on 5.7, let's go to 5.8. And thanks for putting that in the notes there. So 5.8 is from the Brand Registry Group. And I don't think we have anyone from the – just looking. Is anybody, let me ask the question. Is anybody in our group associated with one of the new brand TLDs in any way?
I'm a possible future applicant member, so I'm sort of an associate member.
Okay. Now, is this? Do you think that Jay Scott? Do you think
I don't
talk to this comment?
What's the concept for the types of
5.8, yeah.
Disease. Well, I mean, I think that they're just basically saying that they don't have a problem understanding and formalizing those that would be binding on the board and those that would not be binding on the board. And they think that also some sort of categorization should happen with those policies that would affect registry contracts.
Thank you, Jay Scott. Chuck again. And so this one may not even need a response because it's basically, it sounds supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they are. I think that's what they're saying is they support this, and they certainly support it when it lets registries know what affects them.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments on 5.8? 5.9 is just a support, so we don't need to comment on that. 5.10, a no opinion, so I don't think we need to comment on that. 5.11, Carlos, and Carlos, once again, is not with us, right? Okay, so would support adoption if changes outlined in other comments are made. See comment 5.2, and so... Carlos apparently isn't able to make very many of our meetings, so I don't know how much we should hold up going over this. He was on one meeting, and if you look at 5.2, you can see that the working group can consider adding clarifying language regarding the application and scope of each process in the final report to make the distinctions and outcomes clearer. So is there any reason, should we just say just refer to the response to 5.2?
I think that's probably the best, rather than making this just say, because that just makes it easier and less voluminous to get through.
Okay. Any disagreement with that? Agreement from Cheryl, thanks.
I think Mary's hand is up.
Okay, I had to scroll up so I could see it. Mary, go ahead.
Thanks. This wasn't so much about the comment, but I actually coincidentally just got a note from Carlo saying that he is stuck in a meeting in Colombia that's going on for half an hour longer than it should. So unfortunately, he can't join us today, but I thought the group would want to know that he was intending to join.
Thank you, Mary. That's good information. So now, with regard to the comment on 5.2, that's worded almost, our response is almost like there's a possible action item for us. It says we can consider adding clarifying language. Do we want to do that to make this clearer?
I thought we dealt with that.
What? Excuse me?
I thought we had dealt with that back in 5.2. That we were going to consider clarifying language.
Are you saying, Cheryl, that we already did add some clarifying language?
No, I think what we decided was that we would add some clarifying language, not that we have added clarifying languages. Now, that was a couple of calls back, obviously.
So that's an action item that we need to follow up on.
I think so.
Chuck, this is Mary. And I think Cheryl's recollection is correct. My further recollection is that this may be a staff action item to make sure that when we get the final report draft out to all of you, that we actually make it clear in the body of the report early on, which process is what and their different scope and applicability. And I think that's what this language is speaking to. So we have it on our action item list.
Excellent. And let's change, though, the comment on 5.2, not the working group can consider, the working group will, okay? So instead of can, put will, and you can change other words too, but I think that can doesn't work very well there. All right.
I see Alan typing. I think he's with us.
Alan, welcome. I'm not asking you why you were late.
I'm not sure he's on the audio bridge yet. I think he's still out somewhere inside.
He's 2 minutes.
He's about 2 minutes away. Okay. All right. So we'll hold off on going. In fact, we may want
to. No. He's not. He's been waiting to get on the bridge for 2 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a bit away. Of trouble getting onto the bridge. Listen to a lot of music. This is Michael.
Yeah.
Tara, you might want to check with the operator, see what the hang-up is on that, if you can. That would be much appreciated. Now line went silent. Okay, he's going to redial, so we'll come back to that. Let's keep moving in the meantime. On 512, 513, 514, those are all supports, so we really don't have anything to review there. Related to the proposed additional new GNSO processes, in particular, first one's the GNSO guidance process, so the GGP. Again, a comment by John Poole in 516, and it's a ditto, right, on that one. It's the same issue that we talked about from John previously. So let's just skip right on to 517. Another BRG comment, and it looks like the same comment that we already addressed. So that's, I don't think we need to do on 517. I'm going to keep moving quickly, so just stop me, interrupt me if I'm moving too quickly, okay? 518 is a comment from the registry stakeholder group, that's one that, you know, the registry supported the adoption, and see the comments for survey items 7, 8, and 9, so I guess we should defer that until we get to 7, 8, and 9, huh?
If so, can we highlight it some way so we know that it's...
Yeah, we need to... we'll automatically get to it when we get to 7, yeah. 8, and 9, so...
Chuck, you're fading in and out badly.
I am? Okay. Not sure what's going on.
That's not my line. I hear you perfectly.
Yeah, your volume's still slightly
low, well,
but I can hear you fine. So and that's just the you, Alan. Sorry. You're fading in and out.
Not surprised, Alan, considering how much you've been involved in. So so we understand. All right. I'll try and speak up a little bit, although it sounds like I may get too loud if I do that. So 518, I mean, if we don't cover it adequately in 7, 8, and 9, we'll come back to that. But I think it automatically would be covered when we deal with the registry suggestions in 7, 8, and 9. 519, no opinion. We can go to 520. Would support adoption of changes as outlined in other comments are made. That's Carlos again. So I think that's being worked, right, by staff. That's the staff action item. And then 521, the IPC supported the new processes, in particular in this case the GGP. Amr or Avery on 522, I think that's the same. Those are the same issues we just went through. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Okay.
Ms. Armour.
Okay, good. And so we can make a reference to our response in 5.4, I think it was.
That is correct.
Yeah, thanks. Moving right along, the ISPCP supports adoption. And then 524, this is Alan, so this is a perfect time to go back to, what were those numbers? 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 6. Okay, so Alan, we skipped over 5.5 and 5.6 because you weren't on the call, and we were anxiously hoping you would join us, and you did. Thank you. If you could, skipping back to 5.5 and 5.6, if you could talk us through, and again, I think they overlap, but I'll let you be the one who decides that, 5.5 and 5.6. If you could talk to those on behalf of the ALAC, we would appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Yes, they are the same one. One was submitted through the survey tool and one prior to us looking at the survey tool, to be blunt. The issue here really is, to use a folk expression, is the forest, seeing the forest for the trees. The processes that we've built and the whole overall concept saying that if it smells, it looks like policy and smells like policy, it should go back to the GNSO for discussion and decision using one of the multiple forms of multiple vehicles with which to do that is something that we support. But we have a concern on anything that is of substantive import. This may take a very long time. We're already in a situation where some things take inordinate amounts of time. I was called upon yesterday to look at whether ALAC should comment on IRTPC implementation. And I had a certain level of deja vu, saying, didn't that happen already? And it turns out that the board approved that one in, I believe, October 2012. And the implementation process is still going on. This is a relatively simple PDP, and it's 2+ years later. On more complex ones, if indeed we had to refer things back to the GNSO multiple times for multiple issues that came up during implementation, one can see implementation taking a decade on something which is moderately complex. And we have a few moderately complex ones coming up. We're looking at a PDP for the second round of new GTLDs. We're looking at a PDP on directory services. And I start to really worry that although each of the decisions we've made in this group make complete sense, when put together as a whole, we may have something which is completely unmanageable. Not for the simple cases, but for the hard cases. So what we're suggesting is, in light of the CWG and CCWG, the expression stress testing has become part of our vocabulary, and I think it's appropriate here, is to go through some scenarios where indeed during the implementation phase we several times find we must refer things back to the GNSO, and some of them will be relatively simple and some will be moderately complex. And what are we looking at an implementation which will exceed even the applicant guidebook in its duration? And that's really the substance of the issue. You know, what we're looking at makes complete sense when it's dissected, but when we put it together as a whole, are we building an unmanageable beast?
Thank you, Alan. This is Chuck. Let me make sure that I understand the recommendation. By the way, maybe I should say first, you raised some really, I think, very important comments with regard to implementation and the time it takes. Now, whether that's in our charter or not, I'll come back to that, I think. But because I think that this is very important. What I'm trying to get a handle on, though, are you suggesting that stress tests should be involved in implementation or in the GNSO Council's work? Or it's not clear to me.
No. I'll clarify. That's an easy one to answer. I'm suggesting that we do stress testing by running through a number of scenarios, and are we... If our recommendations are implemented verbatim, what have we just decided to do? You know, are we dooming any significant GNSO policy issue to a fate worse than death? That is, you know, it'll never get out the other side in any of our lifetimes or any of our practical lifetimes in ICANN.
Okay.
I'm exaggerating, but.
No, that's all right.
That's the concern.
Yeah, okay, that's good. No, that helped me. Now I know that was one of the things I had in my head, but I wasn't sure. Now I know exactly what you're suggesting, that we do some stress testing. Let me turn it over to Amr.
Oh, thanks, Chuck, and thanks, Alan. This is Amr. Alan, I understand and very much appreciate the concern that you raised. A question I have, though, is, assuming we do go through a stress testing of the recommendations, specifically this concerning the concern that you've just raised, Do you have an alternative to sending these back to the GNSO that we could recommend? Thanks.
Thanks, Amr, and I'll come back to you, Alan, if you want to respond to that, but let me first go to Karen.
Thank you, Chuck. This is Karen Lentz. I wanted to support the comments made by Alan. I share the support for the individual processes that allow for resolution of issues that come about through the implementation process and make sure that there's adequate mechanisms for things that need to be discussed. Each of those do potentially add quite a bit of time to an implementation process, and I think one of the things, implementation is actually also one of the things that ICANN gets measured on, that the multi-stakeholder model gets measured on, is, can we build things and implement things still, in a collaborative way and still in an effective way. So in terms of stress testing, I was just going to comment that, I don't know what Alan was envisioning exactly, but in terms of perhaps doing a case study or, running through some actual issues or test issues through these processes might be helpful. And if it's helpful for staff to compile something like that, I was going to offer that support. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Karen. Much appreciated. This is Chuck again. So I wonder if it's possible to identify particular elements of the recommendations we have in our report that would be especially, for which it would be especially useful to do some stress testing. Is that something, if we try to stress test every element, might take us a long time to get through it. At the same time, like this particular one that Alan has used in the here, where one of the things we're recommending is going back to the GNSO if there's any doubt that it's whether it's policy or not. How would we stress test that? How would we go about that? And let me come back to Alan now.
Okay, thank you. I admit stress test is, as I said, is a catchphrase in vogue, and maybe it was not the optimal one to use. But yes, I am talking about running through scenarios. I don't recall whether we have put times on the various processes we did now. We've put down, is there what we consider an absolute minimum time for the various processes, and then what do we estimate might be a more typical one? I know when we redid the PDP rules, it was very illuminating to when Marika went and calculated, if we follow our rules and all of the complex work gets done almost instantaneously, how long will a PDP take? Which gave the absolute minimum time it could take in the best possible scenario. And that was useful because that told us that the people were saying, we can do one in 6 months. We're wrong. It simply was a number longer than that, and that was in a best case. So part of it is, coming up with some best case and typical case guesses, and it's all they are is guesses right now for the typical case because these are procedures that we've never exercised. Adding in the normal delays that we get of how long does it take to constitute a team to do this kind of thing, and then start hypothesizing if in a complex process we have, during the implementation we have two of these and one of these and one of those, how long is the overall thing going to take? And, just working through a number of scenarios like that so we get some idea of what it is we're recommending before we're actually cast them in concrete. And to answer Amr's question, if I had a really bright answer, I'd give it. Nobody is going to say, well, if it takes too long, just let Joe decide, and we'll the multi-stakeholder community will accept that. That's clearly not something we're willingly likely to accept. But on the other hand, we don't want to build a process which is completely unwieldy either.
Thank you very much, Alan. This is Chuck. So, I'll come to you in a second, Amr. But so taking Karen up on the offer that she made for all staff, right, Karen? You said staff. sorry about that. I wonder if staff could take on a task to kind of go through our recommendations and do what Alan was just describing, like was done in the previous effort he referred to on the procedures, and just kind of sketch out with real rough numbers, you know, okay, so if we've got to go back to the GNSO Council and they're only meeting once a month and then they may take two or three meetings to do this and so forth, is that a realistic task for staff to do, and just going through and picking out our recommendations where it looks like there could be serious time implications, and do that exercise. And actually, the exercise is probably the same across several of our recommendations. I mean, the time implications would probably be the same, so it's not as if I think the exercise has to be done over and over again for each one. It'll probably be similar. So if is that something, and let me let Karen or any other staff members and Mary just respond. And if it is that something we could get done before the meeting in Buenos Aires, even if we put forward our final report, then before the council acts on it, we could provide that data, and that would be helpful for the council in terms of looking at this. And when I say the council, obviously the constituencies and stakeholder groups that the councilors represent, as well as the at-large and so forth. So, okay, so I've got several hands. Since I asked that question, let me let Mary respond, and then I'll go to Amr.
Thanks, Chuck, and thanks, Alan. It's not so much a response, because I think I know what Karen is suggesting. I guess my question was in the form of a clarification, because it seems to me that we may be talking about a couple of different things. When Alan explained his comment, I thought he meant a sort of test scenario, not necessarily of each process, but of specific types of hypothetical occurrences, such as, you know, there's a very complex set of recommendations and implementation of this would take a really long time, whereas then we seem to be moving towards something where we estimate roughly how long each process might take, which is more along the lines of what Marika did for the PDP improvements effort that Alan is talking about. So I guess my question is just to ask, which is it that we're being asked to do, or are we actually being asked to do something that I'm actually not understanding?
Okay, and Amr, I guess that you must have, I'm guessing that you were going along the same line, so that's why you took your hand down. But if you want to jump back in, that's fine. Thanks, Amr. Appreciate that check mark. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. I think there's multiple steps. I think the first one is let's come up with a, for each of the processes, an absolute minimum time, given the number of public comments that are involved, given the realistic times that it takes to form groups and to doodle meeting times and things like that. What kind of absolute minimum times are we talking about for each of these processes? When I say absolute, I mean in a practical sense. And what do we realistically think there will be? We're not likely to convene these groups unless there is an issue where the answer is not clear. So it is going to take a number of meetings to present the issue and perhaps come to closure, if indeed we can come to closure. Some of these, I suspect, we're going to end up, you know, deadlocking because we can't come to closure, and that's a scenario we have to consider. But I don't think that's the one I'm focusing on right now. So if we can simply, for each of the processes, put together the kind of metrics that I'm talking about, of what's the realistic minimum and what is a more practical guesstimate of what this kind of process will take. And then assuming we have to string several of these together, add that on to whatever average implementation times are. I haven't seen any statistics for what kind of time do we typically have from board approval of a PDP to the time that the policy is actually deployed and in practice. Those would be very interesting numbers. Clearly, things like the IRTPC that I mentioned, I'm sure is an edge case, because 2 years for a pretty simple PDP is a little bit scary. But maybe there's, you know, I haven't been following it. I know Avery was one of the co-chairs, but I don't know if she's been involved in the implementation team or not. So it might be interesting to understand that. But if we now put together scenarios of what do implementation take pre our recommendations, and then we add in guesstimates of what it might take on a more complex one, factoring in our recommendations, what kind of times are we looking at? And, you know, it may end up being something that's completely acceptable, given the complexity of what we're doing. Or we may look at that and say, that's insane. You know, ICANN will never be able to do anything effective if that's what we're stuck with. And that might mean we need to do a much better job on the PDP the first time and not resort to these mechanisms. But I think we need to understand that. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So I'm going to go to Mary. Before I do, Aubrey, I'm going to put you on the spot in a little bit just to make sure that we're all together with regard to your chat comments on stress tests and noting that Alan said, you know, he's happy to use a different word. But so I'm going to come back to you after I go to Mary. Okay. Mary, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck, and thanks again, Alan. I've not been on staff a long time, so someone like Karen may have better insight than I do on this point. My impression is that it will be very difficult to get a sense of the existing patterns, if you like, or timelines of implementation now, simply because there are so many factors that come into play after the board's adoption. So for one thing, there are no fixed timelines, and maybe there should be. For another thing, some of our group's recommendations with regard to the use of the IRT teams and principles may help in some regard. But my impression right now is that even if we use an implementation team, if, for example, the policy that's to be implemented is fairly technical in nature, there's quite a lot of preliminary background tech work that needs to be done, as opposed to a policy that can be more quickly implemented if it's a, you know, one single contract change, for example. Then in some other implementations, there's the need to give notice to the affected party, such as the contracted party. So I guess what I'm saying is, I'm not sure we have or that we can have meaningful data on what it takes now, although, Alan, I understand your point, and I do think it is an important one in terms of basically cramming on and making things longer. I'm just not sure how we can meaningfully describe or measure it at the moment. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. You know that idiot who comes in two-thirds of the way through a call and starts talking about something that either was already covered or is off-topic because
Ian,
they think that's what people are talking about? That's me.
The initials GS?
I'm gonna take the chance of being that guy. Normally, I'm not.
Go ahead.
I'm due one every once in a while. I guess, you know, hearkening back to one of the reasons why we came up with all the things we came up with, we were hoping to make things run more smoothly, to expedite things, but at the same time to try to create processes that were more regular and more predictable, and importantly, hewed closer to multi-stakeholder goals, concerns about ad hoc processes at the GNSO Council and elsewhere, to try to answer the various types of kind of policy-related inquiries that were coming up. I think those are still our goals. It seems to me, at least what's in the the comment here is kind of refers to things that references of issues back to the GNSO may have the overall effect of creating a very long implementation period. I guess the issue is not whether or not things are going to get referred back to the GNSO, but what happens when they do. And the issue before the answer was, we don't know, we'll make it up when it happens. This is supposed to make things more predictable and hopefully faster, because you don't have to first invent the mechanism in order for there to be an answer. So I'm not sure, and as I say, I missed a lot, so I could be that guy, about why creating processes for things that are already happening would lengthen those lengthen the underlying implementation process. Intended to be shorter. Now, if we've missed our mark somehow, if our ideas are bad and aren't going to work and are going to just introduce delay rather than speed and uncertainty rather than certainty, we should kind of figure that out. But I don't think there's been specific concerns raised about that. Now, when you talk about stress tests, it's kind of like, okay, well, let's see what specific concerns we can now conjure up. Conjure up may sound a little pejorative. They may be realistic, and we certainly should make sure, and I think we've tried as we've gone through this to think about how things will work. So, again, I'm not entirely sure that there is I think the concern needs to be concrete about what bad things could happen because we have created new methodologies for dealing with inquiries that already take place. We're not asking for new inquiries to take place, but just to how to deal with the types of things that already are occurring and will occur as the IRT concept becomes more regular. So I guess I'm just unconvinced that there's this bad thing lurking around the corner, but at the same time, that doesn't mean we shouldn't look around the corner. Stress test may be too robust a word or concept, but we certainly should think one more time about whether we've created things that are going to end up having unintended consequences or opposite consequences to the ones we had. So now that I've finished being that guy, I'll finish talking. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Greg. I think you raise a really critical point. It doesn't totally eliminate the ALAC concern, because I think we still need to address it. But I think it would be good if we put in our notes in response to this that the working group did note that we're optimistic that much of what we're recommending should actually make things flow more readily than they would have without what we're recommending. So I think that's an important point to make, without totally eliminating the suggestion that the ALAC is making or that Alan is making on our working group today. So thanks for that. Alan, you're up.
Thank you very much. I think a large part of the presumption that Greg is making is false. We're not just looking at these processes in place of the ad hoc procedures that GNSO has used occasionally over the last several years to address questions. We are using this to address the reason that we got here to begin with, and that is there are large parts in the community who have believed that decisions were made without referring them to the GNSO ad hoc or using ad hoc or established procedures. The 4 years or 5 years, whatever it was, of applicant guidebook development, which was all technically implementation because the policy itself was quite generic, has involved many, many things which individual parts of the community believed fervently were policy. Now, yes, the registries believed some part were policy, where other people said, no, they're just fine, and the IPC believed other parts were policy, where other people thought they were just fine. And, it's not everyone agreed at the same time as to what is policy, but the whole premise of this group, and if you look at the principles we've come up with, we've said things should be referred to the GNSO, which in the past have not been referred to the GNSO, and staff or board decisions were made. PICS, which is an issue of great interest to the ALAC at this point, clearly was not just an implementation, because we're being told right now by various parties that if we want to change them, we should have a PDP. But they were developed out of whole cloth by staff and board in response to some GAC concerns that were raised. And, you know, I certainly agree that they were a good construct, but it's hard to argue they weren't policy, and they weren't something that should have been referred to the GNSO. And if they had been, it probably would have been a moderately lengthy process to come up with something that addressed the concerns. And it may have been a much better construct than PICS, ultimately, but one looks has to look at the time. So it's not just replacing the half a dozen ad hoc procedures the GNSO went through. It's all of the times when the GNSO was not invoked at all that we're now potentially going to be invoking it. And that's where the time concern comes from. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I'm not sure. There's one thing right at the beginning of your statement, fairly close to the beginning, that I didn't understand. You said something about underlying assumption that Greg made, what you disagreed with. I'm not sure what that is, but maybe Greg will be able to.
Well, I can do that again very quickly. Greg was assuming that these new processes that he thought I was saying, these new processes are going to take a lot more than the ad hoc invented processes that we've used over the last few years, and that wasn't the point. The point is they're going to take a lot more time than the zero process that we have gone through in the past by having staff and board make make decisions which parts of the community strongly believe were really policy and under our rules must be referred to the GNSO as opposed to simply decided in a dark room somewhere.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Greg.
Thanks. I guess I'm confused a little bit, which in a sense we can't have our cake and eat it too. We want to get things that a large portion of the community believes are policy back into the hands of those who are supposed to deal with policy. But now that we've accomplished that, the mechanisms that we have are going to be a problem. So are we supposed to leave things in the back room, or did we somehow just not create something that is streamlined and quick enough for ALAC? Or is it just inevitable that when you try to, you know, take something, you know, one of the nice things about implementation in the dark room is that it's relatively quick. It may not be right. And, you know, staff gets things right, you know, a whole lot of time anyway. But the point is, what about the ones that are pricklier? You know, we try to solve for that problem, and if it is creating an extra pathway that needs to be taken, it's, you know, that was a pathway that this, you know, group identified. So if our processes could be made, you know, more streamlined and more quick, and still, you know, be robustly multi-stakeholder. You know, I'd be as happy as anybody to see that happen. I'm just not sure that I think we aimed for the most lightweight processes possible. So I'm not sure what we can do other than say, well, maybe it'll take more time than not being asked. But isn't that the point, that we need to be asked?
Thank you, Greg. Aubrey, your turn.
Thank you. This is Aubrey speaking. And you said you were going to call on me, so I started thinking about what I'd say because I didn't have anything to say. But then I came up with something to say, so I had to put my hand up.
Good.
A couple things. First, I think we're beyond where you've actually invited me to get in my diatribe about stress tests, so I won't bore you with that. But basically what I wrote there was stress tests are something that you really should create at the time that you create the requirements or close to it. Otherwise, like Greg indicated, you end up being situational and your stress tests are almost based on the implementation you have and almost your attitudes about this bits of that implementation are inescapable. So no diatribe, but that's the basic point there. I agree very much with what Alan has been saying in terms of these are mechanisms to try and catch those things. Where these days what happens is maybe we do an ad hoc process to deal with them, but first we dither about them for about a year. What are we going to do? What should we do? What can we do? How can we take this process? How can we twist it? How can we whatever? Now, and in some cases, Alan is right, we never do anything. You know, the PIC process. Had we had one of these things a year and a half ago when that issue, you know, or probably even longer than that now, when that issue came up and we were able to say, oh, that is, you know, a one of these processes, you know, let's do it. We would have been long done. We would have solved the problem, et cetera. So I agree with Alan's argument that the issue is going to be for the council to be judicious about how they use them. Again, that's trusting the council to be judicious. In terms of the testing that people have been talking about now, obviously I'm not in favor of stress tests. In terms of the second one, which is the guesstimates, I tend to agree with Mary on that, is on processes that we have and that we've only theorized, it's possibly useful. What I think would be more useful is to actually collect the time lapses, the time gaps that we have over the last N years between policy, board approval, implementation, deployment, what have you. And to collect these and see what kind of trends. Also to look at some of those other issues that Greg was talking about, where we got something, it wasn't quite a PDP, we dithered for a bit and did something ad hoc. How many of those were there and how much time did they take? So that as we start to implement these things, we start to have, because you know, once we implement them, then we will have implement reviews, and then we'll have, you know, since there are processes that involve the council, there'll be SCI input on them, the standing committee improvement type input on them later, et cetera. So having not only a history of timings to compare against, but also making it a point somewhere to say, you know, that ALAC point may indeed be right. We should measure what we're doing and see what we have to do to make sure that the use of these new mechanisms don't turn a 3-year process into a 9-year process. So I think it's good to put in, you know, admonitions, warnings, and a certain amount of ongoing data collection to try and prevent it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Aubrey. So we're at a point, I think, where we need to decide whether we want to ask staff to do some work for us on this or not, and if we do, what that is. Now, I really like what several of you have said, and in particular, Aubrey, what you're talking about in terms of doing some analysis of several, you know, issues from the past, not issues, but processes in the past several years, just to just get some data in terms of how long particular things take, like ad hoc processes or whatever. But I'm starting to get the feeling that that's a pretty significant effort and probably wouldn't be doable before we submit our report, certainly, but maybe not even before the council acts on it. So are we talking more about maybe a long-term issue that will help the council and its management activity if it had some of that data going forward? So help me out here in terms of, first of all, do we want to ask, give staff an action item in the near term or the long term? And if so, what specifically would that be? Now, Greg, is that an old hand?
Yeah, I'm that guy, too.
Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. At the very least, I think we need to put together some numbers for what the processes we're looking at have as a realistic base number, and then add on a reasonable number of meetings to actually deliberate and come to conclusions. You know, we can all make guesses as to how long is that going to be. There aren't many deliberative processes which complete in 2 weeks. Some of them take a year to 2 years. So we have a large body of history on which we can make some guesses. You know, it doesn't just have to be two guesses. It can be, you know, it can be three, whatever. So I think we need to, at the very least, build those numbers in. We need to develop what those numbers are. We do need to look at the history of what's happened with implementations over the last couple of years. We don't do that many PDPs. There's not dozens of them to look at. So it's pretty easy to pull out the numbers of when did the board approve it, when did the policy actually get deployed. And yes, there's all sorts of reasons, and there's warning periods, and there's all sorts of things that come between it. But, you know, typically the warning periods, you know, not the warning, the flexibility of implementation is after the policy is deployed. And, you know, that doesn't say when it comes live, but when we're finished working on it. So I think we need to go into this with the very least that body of knowledge, and then we can go forward. Now, you know, both Greg and Amr have said, you know, well, what else is there? We certainly don't want people making ad hoc decisions. Well, I agree. You know, otherwise, I wouldn't have been putting so much time into this particular working group. But we have to make sure that what we're going forward is something that we think is pragmatic and realistic. And if it isn't, we need to rethink how we're doing things. And part of the answer may well be we have to take more time on a PDP to make sure that there aren't a lot of gotchas and surprises after the fact. You know, in retrospect, I believe we should have done that on the new GTLD PDP, but that's history. So I think at the very minimum, we've got to get some metrics and some numbers to know what we're talking about. Otherwise, we're just burying our heads in the sand and pretending that there isn't any issue at all. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Chuck again, but I need a clarification from you, please. Are you talking about getting some metrics before we submit our report, our final report to the council, before the council acts, or at some other time?
Well, I see no reason. Personally, I see no reason not to do it before we submit the report. I mean, to submit recommended procedures without being able to say clearly that this procedure is going to have a minimum time of 6 months or 3 months or 2 weeks or whatever it is, I think is just irresponsible.
One more follow-up question for you, Chuck. Again, would you? You did this, I think, in your comment just now, but again, could you list what you would like staff to do before we submit our report? And then I'll go to Barry, excuse me.
Sure, but someone's going to have to remind me, and it's going to have to take its place on the priority list.
Well, we can do that. We can get it from the transcript if you can't do that now.
I would think that having someone do that and passing it by me to say did we interpret it properly is likely to result in something more quicker than just waiting for me right
okay,
now.
Okay, that sounds fine. Mary, go ahead. I mean, Barry, excuse me. I'm not used to Barry, I saw your hand down below, and I'm used to calling on Mary up there in the top in Adobe. You're throwing me off moving around like this. Go ahead, Barry. Barry, are you on mute? We're not hearing anything.
You've upset him, Chuck.
Well, we're okay.
Chuck, this is Mary.
Yes.
Just to confuse things a little more, I think Barry was actually going to share his screen. I don't know if he's able to do that, but we've been having some sort of back chat here amongst the staff, and as I said in the Adobe chat, that there are some numbers and things that we may have already that we may be able to get, and I think Barry was pointing out some information that we had early on in the life of this group to, in terms of the review that we did of some of the earlier efforts. So I think he should be able to share his screen now, and you should be able to see what he means.
Looks like that's happening. Thanks.
So, just while that's happening, Chuck, if I could just jump in.
While they're bringing that up, that would be good, Cheryl.
Perfect, and it's a perfect segue because I was going to answer your questions. I know it was radical of me. I think the answer to your question, should we ask staff, the answer is yes. Should it be short or long term? I think it is both, and it looks to me like we've got immediate results, at least for a short term, within the time constraints of before we go back from a publishing point of view here. So I'll put my hand down now, but I think that the larger piece of work will be a medium to long-term piece of work, and we should probably punt some of this across to the metrics working group, and Barry will have a handle on that as well, because it may be that the metrics working group needs to be cognizant of this type of scenario as an ongoing, as scenario checking and metric analysis as an ongoing matter to almost have a feeling of the health of the process as we go on in time. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. That's appreciated. And I think you're probably right. It's both. So, Amr, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Amr. I just wanted to weigh in with a thought, and I'm not sure if I'm way off on this. But the way I see it in terms of complexities and implementation, there are two types of complexities. The first one, which would be that the nature of the implementation itself is complex, and I'm not sure that any of the processes we're suggesting may make that more complex or not, in terms of sending things, questions back to the GNSO. I'm not exactly sure how or why how the concern may come up in that context, but in the other context where policy questions come up during implementation, and that's the nature of the complexity involved, it was never my assumption that if this happens and a process needs to take place like one of the processes that we're recommending, it was never my assumption that this would slow down or halt the implementation. I was always under the assumption that implementation would move forward whilst another process would begin. If a PDP working group did not identify a policy question or was not chartered to answer one, then this should take place in a different process that either comes later or possibly starts halfway through, unless the PDP working group notices this early enough to ask the chartering organization to review what is in and out of scope of its work. But if this policy issue is presented as a complexity during implementation, it would be my assumption that implementation would move forward regardless. So I just wanted to offer these thoughts. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. It's Chuck. So a question for you. Don't you think, though, that there may be some policy implementation work discovered during implementation phase that has to be done before the implementation can actually be completed? May not always be the case.
I think it would happen. Yep, I would assume that this would be the case. If it's identified early enough during the PDP phase, for example, like what happened with the thick who is, then there could be precautions in how the recommendations are presented, so that you could have recommendations saying we would like the IRT to work with staff on identifying the policy issues here, and then there would be certain scenarios where implementation could take place. And that's just an example. In event that this or that happens as a result of looking into the policy aspect of it, if this is not identified at all and identified at a later stage, I'm not sure if what extent this would require that implementation would actually stop or be delayed. I would assume that a process could be initiated and move in parallel with it, even if it takes longer than the actual implementation of the original policy does.
Thank you, Amr. This is Chuck. Barry, are you still wanting to talk, and are you able to now? Go ahead. No? Okay. Mary, why don't you jump in?
This might sound a bit like a ventriloquist, I suppose. I'm trying to interpret Barry's chart here, but conscious of the time, I think we can just point out that this is something that Barry's put together for David Olive and our team, and it doesn't distinguish between a PDP and a non-PDP effort, although you see them in the colors, but it does go to show the duration of the full effort. I'm sorry, it doesn't distinguish between when policy stops and implementation begins. Of course, it does distinguish between a PDP and a non-PDP. So to go back to Alan's point, it gives you a bit of a sense of not just the number or when we have these efforts, but how long each takes from beginning to end. And we can pull out more of some of this data. I think we have some, like we said, I said earlier, particularly for the non-ad hoc processes. We don't know how much of it will be useful in terms of going back historically. We would suggest probably restricting it to more recent efforts, given that the new GTLD program has kind of overshadowed prior efforts, and we have new rules since a few years ago, too. So, Chuck, Alan, I don't know if this is the sort of thing you were looking at, and I'm looking at Barry to see if he wants me to say any more about this chart.
Thank you, Mary. And what I'd like you to ask you to do, you or Barry, is to send this to the list, okay, because it's a lot easier to read on a full screen rather than Adobe. And then the request of everybody in the working group is to, and in particular Alan and those that would like some data done before we submit our report, does this meet some of the need, or what? And then what else? What other data would be helpful before we submit our report? And Mary, if you can pull some of that out of the chat, because Alan did mention some specific, not chat, in term, I guess it was actually his comments. So from the transcript, if you can pull out some of the things he suggested that would be good data to have before we submit our report, that would be helpful. We're also going to have to look at some of the longer-term data needs that would be useful, too. So if people can identify some of those things. And, Avra, you did a pretty good job of describing some of the things that would be helpful to track on an ongoing basis and to watch. If we can get some of that captured, that would be very helpful. We're out of time. I'm going to call on Alan to wrap it up briefly, but I think next week we're going to have to come back to this particular issue before we pick up in Section 5 in the comments and continue what we're doing. I do have, before I give it to Alan, Alan, you no longer need to talk?
No, I've run out of time. I have to hang up anyway, so it'll wait.
Okay, I'm sorry, but we will come back to this next week.
Yeah.
And Mary, I do have a question for staff, because I'm looking at the summary of the comments and our responses and so forth. I don't see any comments for item 6. Are there no comments for item 6? We go from 5 to 7 on page 21 of the document. So, and you can give me that answer offline. But go ahead, Mary. Your hand's up.
Oh, nope. Sorry. Just
okay.
As Greg was that guy, I think I'm now that girl.
So anyway, if you would check that to see what happened to any comments for Section 6, because as I look at the question in the survey, I'm sure there were comments on Section 6, but I'll let you provide that information offline. Before I adjourn the meeting, is there anything else we need to cover? We're going to meet again 90 minutes next week, same time, same station, and I think we made pretty good progress today. We'll keep plugging away. I think it's worthwhile. very worthwhile for us to do the due diligence on the comments like we're doing. So I think in the long run, it will pay off. Anything else we need to take care of here? Or any other action items? Okay. Let's call it a meeting for the day, and thanks to everyone for the great contributions. And we'll all talk again next week. Many of us will talk way before.
Some of us will be talking sooner than that, Chuck.
Yes, I know.
Off the phone and into the next one.
So, anyway.
Yeah, in fact, it's another two at once. I now have to split my brain again. It's been a lovely little break to only have one conversation in my head just for this last part of the call. Thank you for
good.
That.
Okay. Bye, everyone. The meeting's adjourned and the recording can end.
Bye.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, everybody. Tony, if you can please stop the recordings. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining, and have a wonderful rest of your day.